Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. Chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Before we read together, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing upon this time as we open his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving it to us as this wonderful gift of being able to learn and know more and more about you and more about ourselves. I pray, Father, as we open your word and as we dive into its meanings, God, that you would reveal to our hearts where we fail. Convict us, God, of sin, and draw us ever closer to your side. We thank you for that conviction. We thank you for that correction, for it leads to life. So we ask you, Father, for it this morning. Not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Let's pause. Yay, we're going to talk about taxes this morning. All right, unpause. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The last few weeks, we've learned or been encouraged that trust, that we are to trust God's judgment. His justice is worth our reliance. We are to trust his justice. Romans 12, 19 through 21 taught us that. In verse 1 through 5 of chapter 13, we learned that trust, real trust, God-honoring trust, is evidenced through and by submission. Submission to our authorities, whoever those authorities might be. This morning, we're taught that submission is a matter of the heart. Submission is not external, it is internal. And ultimately, it's vertical. Because every leader or authority in our lives, as we've already heard, has been put there by God. And so truly, submission to them is submission to God in every area of life. And yes, even taxes. Look at verse 5 with me again. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. This is kind of a transitional statement by Paul. He warns us to be subject, that is, to submit to our governing authorities. And in verse 1 through 5, he leans very heavily on this idea of wrath. And in verse 5, he says that we are to submit for fear of falling under the wrath of man, or primarily the wrath of God. Because when we disobey our authorities, our God-given, God-appointed authorities, when we rebel against them, we're not really rebelling against them. We're really rebelling against God himself. He is the one who established their position. But here he changes. He's beginning to turn our eyes away from just simply, you know, being watchful over the wrath of God, but now he's turning it back towards ourselves for the sake of conscience, that we might have a clear conscience before God, that we might have a clear conscience before men. Paul is shifting gears. He's encouraging us to be mindful of how we live in regards to submission and obedience to those who are over us. Not necessarily for the sake of wrath, but for the sake of conscience. He's also, by saying this, revealing even further that obedience is more about external and submission is more about internal. What matters most to the Lord is our heart. Circumstances can stop our obedience, but there is no circumstance that stops submission, except a sinful heart. A heart that desires not to obey God. As we saw last week, submission and obedience is different. Obedience is an outward expression, whereas submission is something that is intangible, something that comes from the heart. We desire to submit ourselves under God's authority as Christians. At least we ought to desire that. And we do that by submitting to the agents that God has given us, the authorities that he has placed over us. But it's not just in the act of doing what they've told us to do, following the speed limit, not robbing banks, whatever it is. It's also in paying them. And this is what I love. So Paul, he's going to cut right to the heart of every human being, because everybody has something to do with money. Money is, man, I'll tell you what, that is the hardest subject to deal with. That is the one, honestly, that is probably the closest thing to man's heart. That's probably why Jesus spoke about money more than any other individual topic. More than heaven, more than hell, he spoke about money. Paul here as well. It's like, hey, we're going to talk about submission. Hey, we're going to talk about having a clear conscience before God. So you know what I'm going to bring up? Taxes. I'm going to bring up your money. And he uses this for an analogy of sorts, but then he drives further in. So let's just kind of open up the example that he uses at first, and then we'll drive deeper as Paul drove deeper. So taxes. Let's talk about taxes. Let's talk about first century taxes, to be specific. Verse 6, for because of this you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. In other words, they are the ones who are asking you to pay them or else. They are God's ministers for this very thing. So that puts a big weight on this idea of paying taxes. There were a couple of different kinds of taxes in first century, but they were not necessarily unlike taxes that we pay now. There was the custom tax. We even have the same term, customs. You know, you go through customs, and you then have to be levied a tax based upon what you've purchased out of country and so on and so forth. And that's the kind of tax, or that's one of the kinds of taxes that they had. You could also liken that kind of tax that they had to, like, for instance, sales tax. Like, buying merchandise. Now, they didn't necessarily tally it the same way that we do, but it was still on the purchase of items and the purchase of property and the purchase of things like that. It's kind of like a almost like a a sales tax. They were paid on the value of goods in Galilee and Perea to the Herods, but in the Roman provinces of Judea to the procurator as an agent of Rome itself. There's also what was known as a tribute tax. A tribute tax was that a subjected people had to pay. So a tribute tax was not necessarily for Roman citizens, but it was more for anyone that was conquered. And it was a once-a-year tax that was paid in tribute to the Roman Empire. Notes the, you know, that's similar to what you would say is like our property taxes, where we pay once a year, that sort of thing. It's not exactly property tax, but it's that once-a-year type of thing. The difference, though, was that they had a lot of different taxes. Like, they had all these custom taxes on all these different things, and they had all these tribute taxes that you had to pay. Specifically, in the first century, Jews were taxed by the Romans a tribute tax, a once-a-year tax, for the purpose of building and maintaining a temple to the lowercase god Jupiter. The Jews didn't like that. They thought that that was unjust, that they should not have to pay that tax, because that tax was specifically denoted for false worship. And a lot of Jews got into a lot of trouble because they refused to pay taxes to the Roman government specifically for that tribute tax. Not to mention all the other taxes of the that would be going to fund, you know, conquests by the Roman Empire. Or terrible, terrible leaders who were essentially being paid by the tax dollars that they paid that were doing awful and evil things to even the people that they governed. So in the first century, specifically, even when Jesus was walking around Galilee and whatnot, he faced all of this, which was one of the main reasons why the Pharisees thought that they got him. They knew. They cornered him. They were like, we've got this. In Mark 12, we read the story of when the Pharisees confront Jesus. In Mark 12, 13 through 17, let me read that to you. And they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion." I love that they knew that about Jesus, didn't you? It's like, this guy doesn't care about anybody's opinion. Praise the Lord, right? "For you are not swayed by appearances." Praise the Lord again. I mean, it's just his teaching expressed to them. It's like, I don't care about what you look like. It doesn't matter. Like, go ahead, bring it on, buddy. "But truly teach the way of God." Yeah, like they really wanted him to teach the way of God. They're trying to trap him. So they pose the question, "Is it lawful to pay taxes, this tribute type tax, to Caesar or not?" Haha, we've set the trap. Here it is. Because if Jesus says it is unlawful to pay taxes to Caesar, then he is a public teacher who is in rebellion against the Roman Empire, and surely the Roman Empire will snatch him up and they will execute him or send him off, and then the Pharisees don't have anything to worry about. If, however, he says you do have to pay taxes, well, then the Jews are going to be so irate that they reject him as any kind of leader, and then he'll be just kind of put on the outskirts and nobody will ever remember him anymore. Should we pay them or should we not? But knowing their hypocrisy, verse 15, he said to them, "Why put me to the test? Bring me a denarius, and let me look at it." And they brought one, and he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." Verse 17, and here's the famous, look, I'm sure you're all like almost there already. Jesus said to them, "Render or give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. They, I think, was everybody who was watching the situation. We read later that they went away befuddled and frustrated, but it was over. They tried to spring this trap. They're like, oh, we got him. All we got to do is just do this. And then he says something that they couldn't have possibly imagined he would say. But let's not forget the content of what he said. Because the content of what he said matters in Romans 13 here as well. You got a dollar in your pocket? Who issued that dollar? From where did that dollar come from? In what system was that dollar printed? Then render to that system what belongs to that system. But render to God, give to God the things that are his. We pay taxes. Now, you have a terrible situation in the first century. You have literally pagan worship where a temple is being erected to false gods, and the tax money that is coming out of the pocket is going specifically for that. What's going on in that temple but harlotry and evil and sacrifices and just terrible things? Money is being given to the Roman Empire so that they might bring conquest across other people, just like they did with the Jews. This is evil. Unjust wars are being funded by these tax dollars. Fast forward to 2021. Our tax dollars are literally funding Planned Parenthood. Funding abortions on demand. And it's evil. And it is a type of worship to a god like Moloch. Child sacrifice even. And so the Christian might think, my tax dollars should not go to funding this kind of garbage. Endless wars, terrible crimes committed by leaders who are getting paid by our tax dollars. And I would say, I think Jesus would say, if you're being paid and buying goods with the currency of that system, of that government, then you must render to Caesar what belongs to him. You didn't get that money. You pull out your dollar bill. It's not a yin. You didn't get it from China. You got it from the United States government. I don't like that. I wish we could all go Bitcoin. But that's not happening yet. My point, and I believe Christ's point, and I believe Paul's point is this. You must render. You must pay. In this system, you have to pay to be a good citizen of this system. It came from them. That money is printed on their paper with their ink, and it's their currency. You're involved with. It's not evil to be involved with it, or else Jesus would have said, don't have a denarius. It's one of those things we have to work around as Christians. But know that your conscience ought not to be pricked simply because they are using those tax dollars to do these evil things. Vote. Do everything you can to overcome those evils. Absolutely be involved. But do not neglect to pay taxes. Do not become an evil because of evil. Pay taxes to whom taxes are owed, period. Can you seek to change them, those taxes? Absolutely. We should. Every time we vote, write congressmen and write letters to officials. Absolutely. But pay. do not become unruly citizens. Today is no different from first century. Okay, and I'm just because we're here in this part, in this time frame in our lives, as I was studying this and I was coming through that, I was like, okay, what other commands that government might have on us? Other mandates that might fall upon us other than taxes? What about those things? You know, I mean, shouldn't we then, therefore, render under Caesar what is Caesar's? Like, let's go easy. Let's go driver's licenses, right? Driving a car. You have to pay for your... This is so crazy, right? You have to pay for your tag every year or 2 years or however often you do it. You have to pay for road taxes when you buy new tires. And it's just crazy, right? Well, render under Caesar what is Caesar's. You didn't pave that road, right? Who paved the road? The government did. Because that road is available for you and you are using it, render under Caesar what is Caesar's. Okay, let's get a little harder. What about like mask mandates now in our 2021, 2022? What about vaccine mandates? That kind of stuff. Okay. If government gave you your lungs or the breath to breathe, then render under Caesar what is Caesar's. If the government issued the blood that's in your body, then render under Caesar what is Caesar's. If a company says, we don't want you to buy goods in here without a vaccine or a mask or whatever, then don't buy. Don't push it. Don't walk, I'm going to do it anyway, I'm a Christian and I'm going to do it. No. Okay. It's their goods, their services. If they don't want it, they have the right to do it. Again, this is the principle. The principle is bigger than just taxes or driver's licenses or mandates. It's paying what is owed to those to whom it's owed. It's about having a clear conscience before God. Submission isn't about externals. Submission is about internal. It's about the heart. It's always about the heart. He gets there with money, but then he branches out even further. Verse 7, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Note the progression that he goes. He cuts right to where it hits us the most, right there in our pockets. Taxes and revenue. Revenue is that idea of paying those people who are owed our money, paying them, whether it be the people that work for us or paying someone for a job that they've done. Somebody comes into your home and puts new cabinets in or something, whatever it is, paying them, not holding back. But then he goes past money and he goes into respect. Pay your workers for sure, but also pay respect. Pay honor. Why? Because this isn't just about external compliance. It's not just about our money. It's not just about our revenue. It's not just about... It's about our hearts. It's about our minds. About having a clear conscience before God with how we live our lives here and now. If someone is due respect, show them respect. If the President of the United States were to walk up to us, by the very essence of his office, he is due respect. If a police officer stops you on the side of the road for something you didn't do, it doesn't matter. They're still, because of their office, they're due respect. Fill in the blank, whoever it is, they are due respect. Pay those who deserve respect, pay them with respect. Why? Because in so doing, your conscience can be clear before God. In so doing, you are not submitting yourself to this person. You are submitting yourself to God himself. By paying taxes to the government, by paying revenue, by giving respect or even paying honor, it is not about that person. It is about your heart and God. Submission is always a matter of the heart. Look at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves has fulfilled the law. Now, most people put a break here between 5 through 7 and 7 and like 8 through 10. Normally, so when I was kind of dividing this up and I was reading it, I was like, oh, that'd be a good breaking point. Because it kind of sounds like, you know, he's gone from, all right, pay everybody that, and then like, pay whoever you owe, pay. And then verse 8, he's like, now owe no one anything. Oh, he's changed his, he's shifted gears here. But that's not what he's saying. I don't believe that these two statements should be separated by anything. Owe no one anything doesn't mean don't go into debt. It's not what he's saying. Owe no one anything doesn't mean don't borrow from a friend. It doesn't mean, like Proverbs 22:7 says, that the debtor is slave to the lender. Now, that's true. The debtor is slave to the lender. It is not wise to go into great debt. But that's not what Paul's saying here. He's not bringing that principle up here. He's talking about what he's just said. Owe no one anything. Leave nothing owed. Lay it all on the table. Do not, I'm supposed to respect this person. I'm supposed to pay these taxes. I'm supposed to give this revenue. I'm supposed to honor this person. Whatever that is, do it. And do not owe them anything else but love. And through love, you accomplish all of these things. In order to maintain a clear conscience before God, just follow me. I know this is a little ethereal here, but in order to maintain a clear conscience before God, when it comes to taxes or revenue or respect or honor or anything else for that matter, anything that is owed to anyone, the way in which you would do that in such a way that honors God and makes it so that you can have a clear conscience before God is that you do it through love. Try to submit to authority without love, and all you get is obedience. I'll do what you tell me to do, and I'll respect you, but I don't love you, and I'm not going to show love to you. That's not submission. It may be obedience. It may be lip service, but it's not submission of heart. Owe no one anything but love. And now he's shifting gears here some, but he's not leaving verse 7 behind. He's bringing verse 7 along with him as he's moving into this idea of fulfilling the law through love. He's bringing all that he just said in with him. Trust God's justice. Trust is real, really expressed through submission. And submission is a matter of the heart. And heart submission looks like love. So I want to do it from my heart. I want to obey God. I want to have a clear conscience. I want to, you know, render to Caesar what's Caesar's and pay respect and all that kind of stuff. But I just don't know how I'm going to go from rote obedience to real submission. Love thy enemy. Love thy neighbor. Love the one who spitefully uses you. Love them. I can't love them. You're right, you can't love them. It is impossible for human beings to have the kind of love that we need in order to love our enemies and to love our governors and to love our authorities the way that God would have us. It's impossible. Therefore, trust in God to give you that love. Express the love of Christ that he has poured in you. Now pour it through you to others. The way that we do this is by looking at people not just as our authorities. They're just over us. But looking at them as fellow sinners whom God has put in our lives for his purpose. That's how you do it. It's like, oh, this person is like me, a sinner. So when they do something wrong and makes me feel like they don't deserve my respect. Oh yeah, I don't deserve respect either. Because I'm equally just a sinner. I'm equally just in need of God's grace. Expression of love to one another is not like this lovey-dovey feeling of like, oh man, they're just so sweet. Aw, shucks. It's not what you feel with your kids. It's a matter of the heart and a matter of the mind. Recognizing who they really are. This person is not a judge presiding over me. This person is a fellow sinner God has placed there for my good and for his glory. Therefore, I can pay this man honor. Yes, your honor. Yes, your honor. Even though he could be the most scoundrel of a judge imaginable. Yes, your honor. Because I recognize not that you are some holy, wonderful person, but that you are a sinner like me. And it is God who's put you there for such a time as this. Owe no one anything but to love one another. This is still connected to everything that he's just said. Paying taxes, paying honor. Paul's not disconnecting it. He's saying, in love, pay immediately what is owed. Do not withhold. Because that's not real submission. That's not really paying what's owed. Well, I'm going to pay you a little bit of respect, a little bit of what honor you deserve, a little bit of the taxes, a little bit. I'm going to hold it back and hold it back. That's not submission. It's what do I owe you? I will pay it immediately, and I'll do it in love. I will owe you nothing but continued love. I will continue to do so. This is what is considered joyful submission. Joyful submission is always the way that God commands submission. He never commands begrudgingly to submit. Wives are called to submit in love to their husbands. Children are called to submit to their parents in love. Members are to joyfully submit to their elders. Citizens are to submit not merely for fear of wrath, verse 5. But also for conscience sake, in love, because they're submitting to God. We're called to submit to God himself through his word. When he gives us a command in scripture to do X, to live X, to do and express themselves in whatever way it is that he's calling us to do so. We don't do it begrudgingly. That's not obedience to God. That's not submission to God, is it? Well, you know, he said I should love my wife. All right. All right, come here, wife. I'll love you. That's just obedience. Obedience isn't bad. Don't get me. Like, I'm not like downplaying obedience. Obedience is better than disobedience. But obedience born from a heart of submission is what God's intention is. By seeing our leaders not as authorities, but as these fellow sinners with us, we begin to take on the mind of Christ. How could I pay them honor? How could I give them respect? How could I pay them my taxes? How could I give them my revenue? They're swindlers. They're cheats. They're evil. Mean-spirited. And what were you before Christ redeemed you? And yet, what did he give you? But a seat at his Father's table. You become an heir and a joint heir with Christ himself. You are now seated in heavenly places, above even the angels themselves, who never sinned, who never fell, who never spoke ill of God or of his plan. Think about that. Verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Submission is a matter of the heart, but it only ever really happens when that heart is in tune with God's heart and loves those whom it's aimed at. All of the commandments. And Demetrius is going to open up verse 10 and kind of probably pull back a little bit into verse 9 and go a little bit forward in verse 11 and just kind of like find this big concept that's even bigger than what we're talking about this morning and what we've been talking about in the past. So next week, come back. He's got a good one to drop on us. But at least understand, as we're walking up to this moment, remember this, that even the commands of God, even the Ten Commandments, even the Decalogue, the whole picture of every command that God has ever given, imagine 613 laws in the Old Testament, all of them are summed up in this: love. Whoa. So why would it not be also that the laws and the commands of the land in which we have been sovereignly and providentially plopped into the United States, or as the Jews and the Gentiles there plopped into first century Judea, a conquered province of Rome, why would we not also express love as a means of submission? How would it be that our submission would not be out of a heart of love as well? Obedience, which is submission to God, is always a matter of the heart. And so if submission to authorities, paying taxes and honor, is also about this submission and real submission, it too is a matter of the heart. The question is, are we submissive? Do we reluctantly pay taxes? Yes, I do. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to throw that out there. Don't feel like, you know. But that's not good. That's not something to boast in. It's something to repent of. Do I like paying respect to those whom I feel are not respectable? No, I don't. I don't like that. Do I like paying honor to those whom I don't feel deserve honor? No, I don't. But again, it's not something to boast in. It's something to repent of. So I call us Christians, myself included, to obey the word of God. To feel the conviction of this and not to just throw it aside and say, well, you know, maybe I'll do that next year. It's not April yet. No, April 15th. So I don't have to worry about it now. No. Submission doesn't happen on a date. Submission is a way of life. Trusting God's justice. Submitting to God's justice through loving God and others is a way of life that has to be honed through repentance and faith and reliance upon knowing that God is good and He knows what's right for me, and I'm going to do what He's called me to do. I'm going to war against my flesh. That's what we must do. That's what we're called to do. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we must be joyful. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. It's in my notes even. I barely wrote it down. So, as Christians, see, that's how much I struggle. I'm just saying. Just being totally transparent. As Christians, we must joyfully pay taxes. Oh, man. Joyfully when we see a line item for Social Security and federal income tax, joyfully pay taxes. By love. That's real submission to authority. That's real honor to God. Oh. Praise the Lord, we have Jesus to help in our weakness and the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And for those who are not Christians, it's evidence that you're not truly a Christian if there's no conviction over that. Now, there are Christians who can be dull to the commands of God, but large in part, when there is dullness to the command of God, to submit to Him, it's not because you're just backslidden. I'm just backslidden. I don't know if I want to commit to God. I don't want to submit. If when you're confronted with the reality that submitting taxes and money and honor and respect, submitting that is really just an expression of love to Christ, and you say ho-hum to that, it's highly likely that it's due to the fact that you don't love Christ. And you're not in Christ. And you need to repent and turn from your sin before it's too late. Because if you're not His, if He doesn't own you, if He doesn't love you, if you're not one of His children, you will die and you will spend an eternity in hell. Because you did not pay to Him what He was owed. Ultimate respect. Ultimate honor. Ultimate loyalty. Ultimate love. You have a good outward appearance? Look at verse 9 again. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. Well, I don't commit adultery. You shall not murder. Well, I haven't killed anybody. You shall not steal. I don't steal much. Except for maybe the government through my taxes. You shall not covet. And any other commandment is fulfilled in this, that you love the Lord your God. And you love your neighbor as yourself. Have all the externals. Have all the outwards. But if you don't have the internal submission to God, you're not a Christian. And you will suffer that consequence forever. But why would you die? Simply turn to Christ. Trust in Him. And seek to love Him with your whole self, although imperfectly, consistently. And you will be seated with us, seated with other Christians in heavenly places, not because of what we deserve, but because of what Christ deserved and joyfully, willingly gave it to us. Obedience will not bring you home, but submission through love to Christ will always bring you home. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and the conviction that it brings, and the hard, even the hard things that we don't like. Thank you, Father, because we need your correction. We need your conviction. Help us to be joyful in our tax paying, in our revenue giving. Help us to be joyful in our respect and our honor. Give us love for you ultimately, but also for our neighbor. Because in this, we truly express real submission to your Son. We pray now for this time that we will celebrate the Lord's table. We ask, God, that you would bless it, you would encourage our hearts through it, and that you would protect any who should not take. Bring conviction upon their hearts so as to not eat and drink judgment upon themselves. But for those who are trusting in you, those who are relying on you, remind us that we eat it not worthy on our own merit, but worthy because of Christ. For he has sat us at his table. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.